From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Scott Schaefer is away. I'm Catherine Barron. Health officials in Tulare County say more tests are needed to determine what sent 17 farm workers to the hospital. About 50 field workers were picking grapes at a vineyard 2 weeks ago when some of them suddenly fell sick. County health officials say tests on fruit, plants, and clothing samples didn't provide any clues. They're now waiting for results of drinking water tests. And fatal drug overdoses are on the rise among middle-aged Californians. A report in today's Los Angeles Times says deaths from overdoses among baby boomers topped 17% in 2003. That's twice as many as in 1990. The cow population of Kern County could be headed for a sharp increase. 20 Southern California dairies want to relocate there because the land is cheaper. That would nearly double the cow population in Kern County, and as some residents say, could increase the air pollution as well. From the Central Valley Bureau, Sasha Coker reports.
Nearly 80 Southern California dairies have already packed up and headed north to the San Joaquin Valley over the last 4 years. The proposal for more dairies means 200,000 more cows, and more cows mean more controversy. Tom Franz is president of the Association of Irritated Residents, a citizen environmental group. He says 5 new dairies have recently sprung up near his home in Shafter.
Our lungs are not going to be a subsidy to any industry if we can help it.
The Central Valley is one of the nation's dirtiest air basins, and the Air Board here recently determined that cows produce more smog-forming gases than cars. But Michael Marsh with the Western United Dairymen says dairies are beneficial to communities.
We bring jobs and economic vitality to regions that heretofore have been rather high on the poverty scale.
The Kern County Planning Department will hold public meetings on the dairies starting tomorrow in Bakersfield, Wasco, and Taft. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca.
The California Report is celebrating a birthday this month. For 10 years, we've brought you stories about the people, places, and issues that shape the Golden State. As we start our second decade, we're looking to the future. Today, we bring you the second installment in a series on extraordinary Californians who are helping to shape the state over the next decade. Michael Jaime Becerra is a 32-year-old writer who lives in El Monte. His debut collection of stories, Every Night is Ladies' Night, illuminates the lives of working-class Chicanos living in Southern California. I spoke with Jaime Becerra and asked him to read a passage from one of his stories titled The Corrido of Hector Cruz.
Hector's wife, Minnie, is pregnant, and so she's asked him to go out in the middle of the night and get her something to eat, and she has pretty specific requests. Hector yawns. He doesn't know how many more trips he'll have to make in the months Minnie has left. One night last week, she wanted pastrami, not a sandwich, just the meat with some mustard on the side. Another night, it was fresh-brewed jamaica. This morning, it's chorizo with potatoes. Tomorrow, it'll be frozen fish sticks, or ice milk, or taquitos and homemade guacamole. Hector smashing the avocados in their kitchen as the sun comes up. The vaquero moves his old lady across the sidewalk, and Hector knows that the details of Minnie's appetite don't matter. He'd drive to Alaska for ice cubes if she asked him to.
It's just so, it's funny and sweet and loving and romantic. And what were you hoping to show about their relationship through that?
Just the fact that Hector's really dedicated as a husband, you know, as a partner in this relationship, and that he's really invested in the idea of being a father, that he's growing toward that, and he really wants it to happen.
What was also fascinating about their stories and their lives is that it's such a vivid portrayal of the idea of the two Americas that we hear so much about.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel or do you feel compelled as a writer to bring these kinds of stark differences to light?
Definitely. And one of the things that I'm always struck by, especially as I travel, you know, further and further away from home and doing different things, is a lot of the misperceptions that people have about life in California, specifically life in Southern California. I remember being on a train once in Illinois talking to these kids, and they found out that I was from L.A., and they were asking me things like, do you surf? And I said, no, you know, I don't surf. I live pretty far from the beach. And they were asking me if I knew movie stars, and I said, no, I don't know any movie stars or anybody on TV. And this attitude, you know, I think of this sort of one-sided, stereotypical California is a definite goal for me. I mean, to sort of take that apart and play with it is one of the definite goals in my writing.
One thing that was interesting, too, is that the characters seem to have dreams that in some ways seem lifetimes away from their circumstances in El Monte.
Mm-hmm.
How autobiographical was that?
That sense of ambition that they have is definitely autobiographical. I mean, not only for me, but for my family. And I think my family's experience is consistent with the experience of a lot of immigrants. I'm first generation on my father's side and second generation on my mother's. And that ambition, you know, that on my father's side, definitely, where my grandmother sort of left the town where she was from, came to a whole new country, you know, brought her son with her. That's a big move. You know, it's an incredibly brave thing. And that courage, that ambition is something that's consistent with the immigrant experience, you know, across all races and cultures.
Where do you see the new wave of upcoming California writers heading? Is there a trend or a theme that you feel you're a part of?
I think this is a very exciting time for California writers, for California Chicano writers in particular. There's a few, you know, people that are emerging now. There's a guy named Salvador Plasencia, who's also from El Monte, who's publishing. There's a guy from Colton named Alex Espinosa, who's going to have a book out next year that's amazing. What's happening now wasn't happening 10 years ago, and it wasn't even available to us 20 years ago. I think we're at a point in literature where the demand for voices that haven't been heard from is higher than ever.
What do you see that you and those other writers as a group are capturing and stories that you're telling that haven't been out there before?
Stories about working class Chicanos, people who get up and go to work and, you know, struggle to pay their bills and want to pay their bills, that sort of thing. That's a dimension, I think, in popular Chicano culture that hasn't been given its due, I think. And the three writers that I just mentioned, myself included, I think that's a definite goal for us, to just to sort of expand the edges, the boundaries of what it means to sort of be Chicano, what it means to be Latino in California.
Michael Jaime Becerra, thanks so much. I really appreciate your talking with us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Writer Michael Jaime Becerra, his collection of short stories, Every Night is Ladies' Night, is just out in paperback. That's the California Report for Monday, October 10th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Catherine Barron. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. The California Farm Water Coalition, family farmers dedicated to using water to produce fresh fruits, vegetables, and grains for your family. Online at farmwater.org. And the California Healthcare Foundation, committed to improving California's healthcare delivery and financing systems. On the web at chcf.org.